You're listening to the Lawrence Business Magazine. Now, here's your host, Anne Frame Herzog.
Thank you, Eric, and welcome to the Lawrence Business Magazine, where we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. And today, I'm pleased to have Mr. Brad Finkeldye from Stevens & Brand, but he's also the board of chairman of the board for the Ballard Community Services.
That's correct.
And then we'll get into all the different, because Ballard does so much for our community. But I, before Brad, I know Brad from Leadership Lawrence and several, running into him and working with him on a few things. But before the show, I Googled you.
Okay.
No, so I was just looking at your LinkedIn profile and stuff. So you've got a degree in chemical engineering, but now you're a lawyer. So that's an interesting, I want to get a little bit of your history, how that went, you went from that to what you're doing now and how you got from going to K-State to Lawrence.
Sure. Well, I was started out as a chemistry major, and I liked chemistry from high school and got into chemical engineering because I thought being in a lab and chemistry was a little boring. So I moved to engineering, where it's a little more action-oriented. But in my fourth year at K-State, I was elected student body vice president at K-State, okay, along with now a local Eudora, or Lawrence businessman, Jeff Peterson, who has an Edward Jones office here in town. He was the student body president, and I was elected his vice president. And we did that for 2 years, actually, got reelected a second time. And in the course of doing that and going to Board of Regents meetings and you know, interacting, I thought, well, maybe chemical engineering isn't as fun as maybe doing some sort of work with people. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, the chemical engineering world was hot, and everyone in my class had a job offer. So I said, well, I'll go to law school, and if I don't like it, I can always get a job. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure in today's environment if I would have taken that chance, but went to law school here at KU, loved it, and been here ever since.
Okay. So you're from Wichita area, right? That's where you were born and raised, down in Wichita?
Yes, I've covered the state, lived in Wichita, went to K-State undergrad, now been to KU. So.
Very good. Well, we're glad you settled in Lawrence. So now, so you've been in Lawrence then how many years? How long has that been?
I came to law school in, 1996.
Okay.
And I've really been here ever since. My wife and I spent 1 year in Kansas City during my last year of law school, because mm-hmm. I really didn't think, being a K-Stater, that I'd settle in Lawrence. I figured I'd go to Kansas City or maybe even back to Wichita. But when the job opportunity opened at Stevens & Brand, it was exactly what I was looking for, mm-hmm. an established firm in a town that really supported things I like to do outside of work. Mm-hmm. At the time, Wint Winter,
right,
with People's Bank, was the managing partner of the firm. And, of course, he had been a state senator, and he had done lots of things outside the practice of law. And he and all the folks at Stevens & Brand really encouraged involvement. And that's really what I was looking for, as opposed to going to one of the large firms in Kansas City where it's work, work, work all the time. I mm-hmm. wanted to have that work community relationship, and that's how I ended up in Lawrence.
A little more balance.
That's right. That's right.
Well, good. So you do that. So now you're in Lawrence, and you're getting your wife are here, and you now let's talk a little bit about how, because I know that you said balance, public service and stuff is obviously very important to you. How did you become aware of the Ballard Center and get involved with that?
Well, when I was in law school, I worked at Legal Services for Students,
okay,
which is in the Burge Union. Mm-hmm. And the director of that center is a great lady named Jo Hardesty, and she's still there today. And Jo was on the board of the Ballard Center. And as soon as I got a job in Lawrence and she knew I was going to stay, she recommended it to me as a good possibility. And back then, Chip Blazer was the president of the board.
Okay.
And so that's how she invited me to join the board, really my first year of practicing law. And I've been on the board now for 15 years.
Wow. So that was fast. So you've been involved with them for quite a while. There's been a lot of changes there.
Yes.
Over the last, and a lot of growth and changes. So let's talk about the Ballard Center then. So having been involved with it for almost 15 years, the changes and kind of everything it's gone through. When you got there, let's talk about what kind of services and stuff, and then let's talk about all the different kinds of things that you guys are doing now.
Yeah, and we'll, like I said, get into that. That's the reason I've stayed so long, mm-hmm. is because the Ballard Center has changed so much. And so it's always been something different. Every
right.
time I think I'm about to get off the board, we we have another endeavor that keeps me going. But when I started, it was just the Ballard Center, which is located in North Lawrence, and what was the old elementary school in North Lawrence. When they built Woodlawn, a lady named Petey Cerf bought that and started the nonprofit in 1964.
Yes, so that Ballard's been in around since 1964.
Yes, and named it after her mother, Elizabeth B. Ballard. Okay. So that's how the name came about, the Elizabeth B. Ballard Center. And so it had a few variations of always working with kids, but by the time I joined the board, it was an early education center that also ran human service programs, mainly to serve the parents of the kids in our program, very low-income students generally. And so our kids would come, you know, without food, they'd come without clothes, you know, without good shoes or winter coats. And so we offered human services in general, but mainly related to our kids.
Okay. Now this was, so how many families were you serving at that time when you started? I mean, because it was, how many was, do you have an idea?
I believe our center can hold 66 kids now.
Okay.
Obviously, the number of families.
Right.
Yeah, I can't quite remember the number of kids in the Ballard Center. Now that we have Brook Creek, which we haven't talked about yet, we'll get to that. But there's 121 total, so I'm trying to remember the breakdown. But 60 to 70 kids at the Ballard Center.
Okay, so that's been a fairly steady number then that's been served by that facility.
That's correct.
And then you've grown. Okay, so they're, but now the needs of the kids have changed too over the years, haven't they? And the services have changed just because with state funding, state not funding, and then growth. So how have the, you know, you said that you're doing family, your human services. How have those services changed and grown?
Well, we started seeing a couple things. One, I mean, the need for our program for low-income early education has always been there.
Mm-hmm.
But the emphasis on early education has changed over the years. And for a long time, well, I mean, starting about the time I got on the board, a little bit before, there became a big emphasis on early education and the importance of early education. And a few years later, you know, things like Success by Six came along, and state funding came along, and federal funding came along, and there was a lot of support for early education, you know, and so those were the good years, I guess.
So you started getting grants, so they were getting grants and things like that to support these services and things.
Yeah, and a lot of support from SOS families. I mean, we you know, if there's programs like Head Start that also work with low-income kids. Our major focus are working families who are below the poverty line or right around the poverty line. So if you have no income, you can be on SOS, and we certainly have some SOS kids, low-income, but they also have options with SOS money to go to different facilities who accept SOS funding. But we're about half the cost of any other facility in town, and we focus on the folks who maybe just get a little SOS money or no SOS money, but aren't making enough that they can afford a $900 a month bill for their child, you know. And so we offer $400-$500. Of course, it's increased over the years, but a low-cost option, and had a lot of support, of course, and still do from United Way to help make up that difference in donors.
And you are, and it's all your early childhood, so you're the age, what age group do you serve?
Well, when we were at the Ballard Center, because we don't have, we're a bi-level building, we couldn't have infants. So in, at the Ballard Center, we do one-year-olds through, till they go to kindergarten.
Kindergarten, right, okay.
You know, the six-year-old. When we added Brook Creek in 2009, or later, 2009 or so, they have infants, and they go from infants to, you know, kindergarten.
Okay. So that changes, that really changes your, when you get infants in there, that's really changes. Although one-year-olds are pretty young.
Yes, they are. They are. But, it, you know, there's a lot of regulations in the industry, and the infant ratio is one teacher for every three kids.
Okay.
And so, although that's obviously why it's as expensive as it is to find quality early education for infants, it changes a little bit when they turn to one, and it, you know, you can have a smaller teacher to student ratio, of course, as the kids get older, which changes the economics of it.
Definitely. Now you have so when you have at Ballard, you at the Ballard Center, your main center, then you have, as you said, about 60 some kids or something. How many? So that's a lot of staff there. And now we'll talk about Brook Creek in a minute. So your staff, and you also have a lot of volunteers too that do other things. So let's talk about how many people do you have working at Ballard?
I think in teachers, mm-hmm. I believe we have 7 full-time teachers and 2 part-time teachers. Mm-hmm. And then we have a director of our early education services, Megan Stuckey, who oversees both centers.
Okay.
And then out of the Ballard office is where Diane Ensminger, our executive director, and Barry mm-hmm. Richards, our COO, they work out of that main center.
Okay.
That's how we work out Ballard Center.
Okay. Now let's talk. We're going to take a break here because when we come back, I'm going to talk about kind of the funding of this and talk about some of these things that are coming up here this weekend.
1320 KLWN Radio. You can
this Thursday morning, September 12th, 9:23. Once again, your host, Anne Frame Herzog.
I'm here with Brad Finkeldey from Stevens and Brand, but also he's here today, as he's also the chairman of the board for the Ballard Community Services. And when we say services, that's because there's a lot of things. You have the Ballard Center, and then we also talked a little bit about Brook Creek. But let's talk about what that word services encompasses, and because you have a lot of things to fund underneath that services. So let's talk about the different services.
Sure. Like I mentioned earlier, when I started on the board, it was just the Ballard Center. And I guess it was probably 2000 I started on the board. In 2003, we added what is called the Emergency Services Council, and that council is made up of different organizations, including Salvation Army and others, and it provides rent and utility assistance. And it used to be run by an independent board, and they administered the utility and rent assistance. And in 2003, at the request of the United Way, it came in-house to Ballard, and we now run that program, although there's still a council. We accept the money both from the city, from the county, from FEMA, and then we distribute it to our partner organizations who then provide rent and utility assistance to folks on the first of each month. And in the last, I don't know, however many years, it lasts about a day. We run out of money in about a day.
Wow.
So that we brought that in-house in 2003. And then in 2005, I believe, maybe 2006, again at the request of the United Way and some other, the board of directors, we merged Penthouse into the Ballard Community Services.
Now, I just heard about Penthouse. Tell me a little bit about Penthouse.
Sure. Penthouse is a great testament to the City of Lawrence. It was started in 1969 as a pure social service agency, and the community came together and built the building that still exists today in one weekend. They built the building.
That's amazing.
Yes,
that's
they
great.
Built the building, and it is pure human services. It's clothing pantry, food pantry, other services. Has one of the better clothes pantries, like I said, clothing pantries, kid pantries. And so it was a human service provider for many years and served a lot of East Lawrence. You know, folks could walk there and receive the services.
But where is it located?
It's on Pennsylvania, on Pennsylvania Street at about 11th and Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And so it's been there since 1969. In about 2005, they were providing a lot of the same services we were providing out of North Lawrence. Mm-hmm. We both had clothing pantries. Right. We both had food pantries. We both offered, they were part of the Emergency Services Council. We both offered that. They did. We were both part of the backpack program, the gifts at Christmas program, and so it just made a lot of sense to join forces and try to save a little money as the economy was struggling more and the request for funds. This was 2005. They became part of our human services program, and since that time, Penthouse has changed a little bit. They're doing some strengths-based counseling out of KU with which is a program developed from the University of Kansas, and we have interns who help us and volunteers.
What was that program? I don't understand what that program when you said.
Oh,
that.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, sorry. It's called strength-based counseling, and so when we have someone who comes into the food pantry, mm-hmm. and they just want some food, certainly we'll give them food, but our goal is to get people out of poverty,
right?
And so there's lots of ways to do that, lots of different models or theories or whatever, and so this is a particular model that Kyle Ronningkamp, our director, has brought to us in the last several years, and it basically sits down and says, what are your strengths? What are your goals? What do you really want to do? And let's work from there. Let's work from a positive impact in your life and grow you from that perspective.
So try to help people get their feedback underneath them by figuring out how they can do that themselves.
Yeah, so that's why it's called strengths-based.
Okay.
And so that's been a particular focus recently. Of course, we still do food. We still do clothing. We also have a back-to-work sort of clothing pantry where we have more professional clothing. So if someone is going for a job interview or has just gotten a job but doesn't have clothes that fit particular job, we can help outfit them. Mm-hmm. And so we have lots of good programs out of Penthouse, and we also run the same services from the Ballard Center and have some overlap.
Okay. So it kind of streamlines administration of those programs so that you can have, consolidate them so that you can actually serve more people with fewer people doing the job kind of thing.
That's right. That's right. And so it's been a good success. And then in 2007 is when we added, or 2008 is when we added Brook Creek.
Okay.
Which was a nonprofit early education center that served low income families. So it's very similar mission to ours. They did a little more SOS and, a little higher rates than us. But, again, a nonprofit that had a very similar situation. And so, again, we merged with them in 2007. So now we serve 121 kids, so that's our capacity.
Now, where is Brook Creek? Where is that?
Brook Creek is basically Caddy Corner, well, behind the Holodome, Caddy Corner to the USD 497 offices.
Okay.
And so it's over there, in that location.
All right. No, it's just because I'm, so is there actually, there's a little creek that goes back there.
There you go.
But so you have these four different areas. So let's talk about funding, because that has changed it's changed how it's done. It's also become very challenging as you've received a lot of challenges lately. So let's talk about the overall funding, and then if there's any specific streams of funding that we can address here so people can learn about that.
Sure. Well, in general, we have our funding streams really come from tuition from our parents, and be that straight tuition, some scholarship money or SOS.
Okay.
ECAN money, kind of Head Start money, they partner with us at our Brook Creek site. And so money that comes in from tuition. Mm-hmm. Second, we have United Way funding. Third, we have a little bit of money that just comes into ESC that we, from the City of Lawrence, from Douglas County, and from FEMA, that money that goes into ESC, and that mainly is just distributed out.
Okay.
And then lastly, a big part of it, of course, is just private fundraising.
Mm-hmm. Now, so do you get any support from the city or the county?
Not except for the money specifically
for
ESC.
Okay. So your budget is probably, is it half of them? So you have to raise half the money? I mean, what is your percentage that you guys need to actually private fund raise?
We need to raise just about half of our money.
Wow,
our tuition rates are set such that they're about half the cost of providing the services. And then with Penthouse, now some of our kids may be on SOS, and some of our kids, we have a scale system.
Mm-hmm.
So not all of our kids are low income. Some pay higher rates.
Okay.
And so some are paying a little bit more than based upon their income. They there's a sliding scale. So, you know, that 50% is, you know, kind of an average. So anyway, we have that money coming in. But we with Penthouse, it's pretty much 100% fundraising, except United Way. We get some money from United Way for Penthouse, about $45,000 for our social service program, and then we have to fundraise the rest.
Okay, so let's talk about let's talk about this big fundraiser that's coming up this weekend, because the Ballard B3 Blues, Brews, Blues, and Barbecue. And this year it's out at the Clinton softball complex. Was that where it was last year too?
Yes, the first 3 years we did it, it was down in South Park.
Right.
But parking and fencing and there's a lot of expenses with being in South Park. We moved out with the city's help, we moved out to the softball fields, which are great. I mean, you have parking right there.
Right.
For liquor law, you have to have a fence. Mm-hmm. And even though no one's out at the ballparks to try to sneak in, you have to have a fence. And this gives us basically a free fence.
Right.
And, you know, other smaller things like electricity close by that South Park has problems with and bathrooms close by. So it's a great, great venue for an event like this.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised that they haven't done more out there. It makes a lot of sense to have an event like that out there.
Well, we certainly appreciate the city's willingness to let us use that. Like you said, they don't do a lot of events out there, but this one has worked very well.
That's great. So you have, now let's talk about, this is your biggest fundraiser, correct, of the year?
That's correct.
So tickets are how much?
Tickets are $60.
Okay, and what do you get for that $60?
Well, it goes from 5 to 10, though sometimes it goes a little later than that. But you get, for that $60, you get the Blues, the Brews, and the Barbecues. We have 11 brewers coming in, providing those specialty beers from all over the region.
Yeah, and if you haven't been out there, it's really quite, these guys are out there. I've gotten different glass. I mean, it's pretty exciting. They have a lot of different tasting and treats and stuff out there.
That's right. These are all specialty sorts of beers from, smaller brewers, Free State, 23rd Street, equivalents like that from Manhattan, from Nebraska, from Kansas City. They come from all over to offer their beer, get you to taste them. And so 11 brewers, but that's probably, 30 to 40 different beers.
There's a lot of tasting involved.
you can taste as much as you want. And then we have 6 barbecue teams.
Okay.
And these are all professional sort of barbecue teams that compete and know what they're doing. And they cook all different types of food. So again, you can sample different types of food. We'll have, brisket, we'll have pork, we'll have wings, we'll also have salmon and smoked salmon, which is a hot item. If you get there early, it does run out. So all different types of food along with, side dishes to go along with it. So all the food and all the beer you can drink. And then we have 4 blues bands that will each basically, play for 45 minutes to an hour over the course of the evening. Josh Val is the lead or the kind of the big name, and they've been there every year that we've done it.
Mm-hmm.
They've won the state blues championship the last 3 years, as far as I know.
That's great.
And they go and compete nationally. They're just a great blues band, but all our bands are good. So you get the food, you get the beer, and you get the barbecue. We give you a few little giveaways as well as a cup, that you can take home. And so it's a really good deal for $60.
It is. It's also I see that you've ordered up some really fine weather for Saturday too.
Well, we've been lucky, but this year it looks like 80 degree high and maybe low 60s, high 50s. We've had great luck with the weather. We've never had it rained out in the 5 years we did it. Last year it got cold at the end. It dropped into the 40s, and people were standing around the fire pits and the heaters. I don't think it's going to get quite that cold, but we've had years where it's been hot, and this will not be one of those. So it'll be a great, great weekend.
So people can buy tickets in advance from the website. How do they get tickets, or do they wait and buy them when they get out there, or they buy them in advance?
No, you have to by state law. You can't sell them at the door.
Okay.
You have to have to be sold in advance, and that's a liquor law. When you have basically all you can drink, it has to be be bought in advance. And so the best way to do it is to go to www.ballardb3.org or the ballardcenter.org website. Either of those will get you there. Email, PayPal, you know, call them in, and we can, you can pay in advance, you can pick them up at the door.
Okay.
And so that works, but we're selling tickets. I know we sold 30 tickets yesterday, sold at least 30 or 40 the day before that. So the tickets are going, but
what is your guys' goal? Do you have a goal for how many tickets you want to sell?
Well, we're hoping to get about 750.
Great.
We're at six something now.
Great.
And, you know, of course, many great sponsors who, for example, will buy a whole table and, and bring, you know, their employees or their clients. And so a lot of those tables are bought in mass, but
great.
Single tickets, you know, single tickets, couples, you don't have to have a table. Just call up, get a ticket, come on out. It's going to be a great time.
Okay. So that's great. So now how much money do you guys raise from this? Hopefully you're going to raise from your event.
Well, it we don't know for sure what we'll raise. It really depends on what happens in these last few days and how many people come in. It's a great event, and it brings a lot of good people together. It's a big thank you for our sponsors, but it's also somewhat of an expensive event to put on.
I think so.
In terms of dollars, we don't raise as much as we get from the goodwill and the thank yous. Frankly, most of our money we raise to fund our budget comes in the month of December in our year-end plea. We raise typically about $100,000 in the month of December.
That's great. So,
and that's the big part.
Yeah.
But it's events like these
that get the awareness out there.
Yes, they get people awareness out of it.
Well, so the awareness, and it's also is, you know, go there, feel good, spend your $60. Well, actually, spend $120 because you have to, should bring somebody with you.
That's right.
Have it's really is fun. I've been out there. I didn't get to go to the South Park one last. I was at the ones in South Park. I didn't go to the softball complex last year, but it is a lot of fun. The bands are great. They're great, and the barbecue is wonderful. And I like taste. I enjoy those tasting those different beers. So people should definitely come out and check that out. But let's talk about, so this is, you make some money from this. It really gets the awareness out because it really does get, you kind of see Ballard and the B3. It's a lot of fun and it kind of celebrates all the stuff that you guys do. But do you also have, when you're talking about funding though, it's crucial, you know, your end of the year and sort of things because when you were talking during the break, how you, you know, the funding, you have to raise so much, you've lost funding. So,
yeah, I mean, several years ago with some of the changes in United Way, and, you know, United Way has focused on some areas of emphasis and shuffled the money a little bit. Mm-hmm. And as part of that, we lost about $180,000 from United Way. And that's kind of shuffled our deck and how we do things and the services we provide. And United Way is still our number one supporter. United Way still gives us $120,000 a year.
Right.
And so a great partner of ours. But over the last couple of years, we've had to focus more on private fundraising and make some changes to our services, cut back in some places. You know, trying to focus. We've had to raise tuition a little bit, but, you know, for the people we're serving, a $10 a month increase is a big deal, and so we have increased tuition, but we can't really just raise the rates. People say, well, why don't you just raise the rates? Well, then we want to be serving our goal.
Right.
Our goal is to provide early education for people who couldn't otherwise receive it.
Well, great. Well, when we come back after the break, let's talk a little bit about more about the fundraising and how we can help make sure that they have the money to continue all the services that they do.
Cloudy and 74 right now in Lawrence, 9:45 on this Thursday morning at 1320 KLWN. It's radio you can depend on. And you're listening to the Lawrence Business Magazine with your host once again, Ann Frame Herzog.
I'm joined today with Brad Finkeldey from Stevens & Brand and Chairman of the Board for the Ballard Community Services. And but before we get back into our discussion here, I just want to let our listeners know that the Lawrence Business Magazine is published quarterly and available at our local Hy-Vees, the Merck, and other convenient merchants around town. And you can also pick up a copy of it downtown in front of a couple of our outdoor boxes. We're also available online at thelawrencebusinessmagazine.com. And you can like us on Facebook, where you can get updates and information on the radio show and magazine. We love to get your comments and questions, but in our effort to encourage an open dialogue, we ask that you put your name on it. So before we left, we were talking about the need and the fundraising and this great event you guys have coming up this Saturday, which if you don't have plans this Saturday, or if you do, you should just change them and go out to Ballard B3. It's going to be out at the Clinton Softball Complex. You buy your tickets in advance from Ballard B3.org, is that correct?
Yep.
All right, and go there, or go to the Ballard Community Center, and they'll also have information, and then get you your tickets. They're $60, but for that $60, you get craft beers from all over, wonderful beers, tasting those. You get great bands, and you get wonderful barbecue.
That's correct.
And then I think there's a couple of I actually have a couple of my B3 glasses in my cupboard from a couple of years ago. They're quite handy.
Yes, they are. I have quite a few in my house as well.
They're very good. So get out there. So this is a big fundraiser and awareness about all that Ballard the Services does. And let's talk. So you raise that. You raise money. But let's talk about your need, because as we were talking about too before that, the funding has changed, but the need hasn't.
That's correct. The need is there, and especially during this economic downturn, we serve over about 500,000 services a year through our social service, penthouse and through the Ballard Center.
Wow.
I mean, that's folks who need come to us to get their clothes. They come to us to get the food. I mean, we partner with Just Food, but could come to some location, and they choose to come to Penthouse to get their food. We are all part of the network, so people can't go to different food pantries, obviously, and get multiple types of food. But a lot of folks choose to come to Penthouse because of its location and because of its history. And then in North Lawrence, we get a lot of folks because it's the only social service agency in North Lawrence.
Right.
And so location has something to do with it, but with our partnership with Just Food, we help folks with the food, with the clothing, and that need has really increased through the economic downturn.
Yeah.
And then I'd say for early education, it has increased. An interesting, sad, but side effect that we really didn't expect when it happened, with the downturn, a lot of our parents lost their jobs. And so when they lost their jobs, many of them couldn't afford even the small tuition we paid, so they took their children out and kept them at home with them. And so we actually saw a little bit of a decrease in usage for a little while, but now that the jobs are coming back, they're coming back at a lower pay level in many cases. They're coming back part-time. And so we're getting our enrollment back up, but the need is just tremendous.
I would think so. So you have this incredible need, and you're really serving families that are really, they're on the line. They really need these services, they love their children just as much as anybody, but they want to make sure they're in a safe, healthy place where they can learn if they're at work and stuff. And so what you're doing is really a wonderful service to our community. We should be very proud, because as statistics show, that when you invest in education, you don't have to invest in you're investing in the whole person and their future.
And I wonder, I think that's an important point. I mean, certainly we're there to help people in need, and that's what we do. But again, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, I mean, both our early education, which is focused on the working poor, and our strengths-based counseling, both the goal is to get people back to work and become productive members of society, not that they would keep receiving our services forever. And it's always, every year, every month, it's always touching to see someone you helped, someone who needed your help at one point, come back and make a donation, or come out to B3 and say, when I needed it, you were there, and now I'm in a better position, and now I want to give back. And we see a lot of that from
both
Penthouse and Ballard Center.
So now, when you're talking so with Penthouse, though, so you have you need monetary donations, and we'll talk about your end of year efforts here too. But just during the year, when you have a lot of different programs too to help these families. So let's talk about just right now. You just had back to school things, right?
Yes, we have a large program that we do back to school supplies. Mm-hmm. Join in with lots of individuals, lots of churches, lots of organizations, and provide a complete back to school, all the supplies and the backpack to children in need. And mm-hmm. It is amazing the number of kids who need these supplies and the joy.
They can get expensive.
They can get expensive. and many of them, if they didn't have this service, would go with just not have it.
Right.
And to see the joy on their face, my kids love going shopping for their back to school supplies. They love the excitement of a year. Mm-hmm. And to be able to provide not only the physical supplies, but to hand them that backpack and see the joy on their face that they're excited about going back mm-hmm. to school too, and they enjoy that moment.
Also gives them confidence going in there with their own backpack and their own things, and not feeling like they making them feel like they're a peer with their peers.
That's right. And so, even if it's not a monetary donation, throughout the year, pick up a pack of pencils or a pack of paper or an eraser when you're at Walmart and put them aside, and you can donate them next summer because we'll be doing it again.
So in this drive, if people want to make a physical donation of clothing, I would assume for all sorts, from kids to adults, because of all the different services. So how do they go about making these physical donations? Where do they do that?
Well, the best place to do it is at Penthouse.
Okay, which again is on Pennsylvania 11th.
Yes, okay. And it is it has a drop off. We have great volunteers. It looks like a house. Penthouse looks like a house, and where basically the garage of the house would be is a receiving door. So the driveway comes right up to it. We have volunteers who work countless hours. They'll come out, help you unload your car. They bring all the clothes in. We even take small furniture or other items you want to donate, toys, any items like that.
Okay.
And then they will sort them, take care of them, and then put them out for our guests.
Okay, is there anything specific that you guys look for, or is it just pretty much across the board there?
Across the board. We pretty much take anything. I will say, as I mentioned before, we have a program called My Sister's Closet, which is a back-to-work clothing pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are harder to come by.
Right.
Most people don't donate their, the men don't donate their suits.
Mm-hmm.
They donate the old T-shirts or whatever. So if someone has professional type, even khaki pants,
mm-hmm.
Things that that people can wear as they get back to work or go for a job interview, those are the ones that are a little harder to come by because people just don't generally donate those.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have those at your house and it's something you want to donate, maybe you're retired so you mm-hmm. don't have to dress up every day at work anymore.
Right.
We'll donate those old clothes, and we can put them to use.
That's a great idea. And so for all of us out there, if you've expanded those waistbands a little bit, you got those old clothes up, maybe some of those would be good ones to donate into there instead of just have them sit in your closet. Put them to some good.
That's right.
So with that, so do that at Penthouse. So that's a good thing. Now, also, you were just talking about your volunteers, because I assume you have a lot of volunteers.
We do have a lot of volunteers. We have great volunteers at Penthouse in particular. Obviously, with the early education program, you can't have really too many volunteers working with the kids except in, very controlled circumstances. But with both our social service programs, Penthouse has the majority of the volunteers, but we use volunteers and interns out of the Ballard Center.
Okay.
But at Penthouse, we have just countless volunteers who do the strengths-based coaching. I think we're now up to 10 or 12 trained strengths-based coaches.
Right.
And they do that work completely for free. As I mentioned, we have volunteers who sort and collect the goods. We have volunteers who come in when the food arrives from Just Food. We have countless volunteers. One of our best volunteers, he works a full-time job at night and then comes in and works 3 or 4 hours before going home and does it every day. Every day.
Amazing. Now, so we've talked about, and then the need for money, too, because then obviously you need the money to help pay the bills, because you still have electric bills, rent, and then you have, when you have a qualified staff, they need to make be paid so that they can actually take care of their own families. So how do when you, these monetary donations, you say you do a kind of an end of the year campaign, how do people, if people are interested in it, get involved and try to give you some money?
Well, certainly you can go to the Facebook page, to about the Ballot Center Facebook page, the Ballot Center website, are both good ways to get your name to us, give us your email address, give us your contact information. I mean, we've been around for a long time, so mm-hmm. thankfully we have a strong support. And right. typically around November, we send out a request to our donor base, mm-hmm. and we typically have good responses. Last couple of years when the economy's down, yes, our donations have been a little less, mm-hmm. but we're always looking for new donors. And the most interesting thing, as we were talking about Facebook, that's changed over my time on the yeah. board, is how many people give via PayPal now, or come on the Facebook page, or just give us donations that we don't even know who they are. They click our PayPal account, they give us some money, we don't know why they gave it to us, we didn't ask them for it, but they obviously found our page, liked what we were doing, and gave us money, and certainly we encourage that.
That's great. So I think that's great that you're getting money from those sources, and the awareness out there. Again, this weekend is a great time to go out and celebrate all that the Ballard Center does, and the community services, the from Penthouse to the ESC, Brook Creek, all those different services. And it's BallardB3.org. Tickets for the Blues, and Barbecue. So that'd be, so everybody should get out there. And then let's donate stuff to Penthouse. If you have old, you have your clothes that you've outgrown, your children are outgrown their clothes, that's all something they can use, and they distribute it to families here in Lawrence.
And then the last thing that several organizations do, but that's really coming up in a month or two, is the Adopt a Family for Christmas.
Oh, yes.
So a great program. I enjoy taking my kids, and we go, specifically not to buy anything for ourselves, just to buy them for our families. Mm-hmm. And the families provide lists of things they're interested in. You buy them, you wrap them up, and the parents are then able to take them home and give them to their kids. It's a great program. Penthouse, Ballard Center both run that program. Salvation Army has a similar program. Mm-hmm. Wherever you do it, it's just a great way to give back to the community, and again, to give hope to some of these families who are struggling otherwise to do that.
I find those are great programs, especially when I have a young child, he's 10, and just kind of helping them and realizing how, giving and helping take care of other people can make you feel better, and just realizing how fortunate some of us are, and that you want to help other people and hopefully get to have a little bit of luck and turn the corner and be able to take care of their families too.
That's right. And again, that's why it's a great program where you can do it. And same with the back to school. You can take your kids and help teach them that lesson. If you're someone who doesn't have kids, or maybe you don't like shopping, you can certainly just donate money. We have folks, the weekend before, who we receive lots of monetary donations, and that's fun to go out and shop
for
Christmas.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much, Brad, for being here. Everybody get out to the Brews, Blues, and Barbecue this weekend. It's a great time. Buy your tickets in advance, though, because of the great amount of beer you can have, and drive safely. We also want people to be responsible. Bring a designated driver. This has been very informative, and thanks for the Ballard Center and all you guys do there. And you can find our magazine downtown. You can also find us online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com, and like us on Facebook, where you can find updates and information. We'll also post the Ballard's link on our site today, so if anybody happens to be there, they can always find it as well. The Lawrence Business Magazine, every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. here on KLWN 1320, redefining the concept of business.